For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Rhett Matthew from the Cannon Fire Podcast, and I want to tell you about a great new sponsor. I tell you this, man, I love betting my friends, all things sports. I'll bet them on anything, different games, player props. All of that is what the Kutt app allows me to do. Kutt, K-U-T-T, is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus U.S. states. Kutt has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All payments accepted, no need for Venmo. So what are we going to be betting on this week? NBA basketball is in full swing after the All-Star break. NHL has been making us a lot of money. Use our promo code BELIEVEBUCKS, B-L-E-A-V, BUCKS, B-U-C-S, for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget that promo code BELIEVEBUCKS, B-L-E-A-V, B-U-C-S. Kutt, put your money where your mouth is.
I want to hear cannons. Outfield, pop, ball to the five, touchdown Tampa Bay. Mike Evans does it again.
Down, 18, dropping Gannon, looking Gannon, looking Gannon, goes up with it, and it's intercepted, Derek Brooks 30, Brooks to the 29, Derek Brooks all the way, there it is, the dagger's in, we're going to win the Super Bowl.
And there the cannons go, fire them, keep on firing them.
Hello and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new edition of the Cannon Fire Podcast, live on YouTube today. I'm your host, Rhett Matthew. Joined alongside me, my good buddy and co-host today, James Hill, a.k.a. Mr. Bucks Nation. And today we are wrapping up an incredibly busy week of free agency for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We have got basically an update on everything that has taken place between the last time we talked to you and now. Just about everything we talked about in the last episode, James, happened. We talked about the Bucks potentially signing depth on the offensive line and in the secondary. They have made moves to do that. We talked about the potential departure of Devin White. We're opening the show talking about that. James, I never got your opinion on the departure of Devin White. We talked about the relationship that ultimately went wrong, but we found out at the end of the week that he has taken a one-year deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. Seems like something 2 years in the making at this point based off of his social media history, but it's a one-year deal worth up to $7.5 million. And it's ironic because we were kind of predicting what his deal would be. And I remember I was talking to Gene over on Buck What You Heard. And I told him, I said, I don't expect a multi-year deal for any team for Devin White. And it didn't end up being that. It's a one-year prove-it deal, $7.5 million with incentives. So what do you think, ultimately, as we kind of wish our best to former Buck Devin White?
No, this is something that was expected, I think. I believe, talked about writing on the wall. You know, me and you've been talking about this for months and months and months, where Devin White was going to leave the Bucks. You know, and this was something that was pretty much apparent, even going all the way back to the trade request, to the $1 to $100 million deal. And it just seemed like things in Tampa Bay soured pretty quickly in terms of maybe the relationship, but also just the idea of them being able to agree to terms to bring him back. Now, him going to the Philadelphia Eagles, I don't think is really that surprising either. Like you said, this is something that people have speculated about for the past couple of seasons. And this is definitely a far cry from what Devin White's original contract expectations were for himself. He went from wanting to get a $100 million deal less than a year ago to getting a $7.5 million deal max value. Now, he is joining the Philadelphia Eagles, a team that was just in the Super Bowl a couple of seasons ago, made the playoffs last year, were eliminated by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but is still going to be a team that's going to be competing for deep playoff runs in the NFC moving forward. So I think it's a good deal for Devin White. And I know some people are disappointed. I still don't think the Devin White pick was a bust at the end of the day. He was still very crucial to the Buccaneers Super Bowl run. He was still a good player in moments for the Bucs. Didn't ultimately come together to be a long-term person that the Bucs could have around. But, you know, I do think he was, you know, effective while he was here in moments. And he will be remembered as one of those guys who did win a Super Bowl for the Bucs, but, you know, then went on to go find some other opportunities. And look, wish him nothing but the best. We'll see what he does with Philadelphia. He could very easily revive his career with the Eagles, Rhett, and it wouldn't really be surprising to me.
Yeah, I think a change of scenery is something that is going to do him good. And honestly, it's a good deal for the Eagles, one, because of the value of the contract, and two, at the end of the day, I think a humbled, especially, but motivated Devin White is going to be good for any team in the NFL, because when he's on, man. And I do wish him the best. I think he did do a lot of good here in Tampa Bay with the Buccaneers. We all look back at that 2020 season, that playoff run. He made a ton of plays, man. There's a lot of plays you think about between the Super Bowl, you know, the divisional round against the Saints, that interception to pretty much seal it in the second half. Like, there's a lot that he has done that I definitely think is going to immortalize his time here. But wish him the best. Things didn't work out. It is what it is. But the Bucks didn't spend long sitting around. They stayed busy, as they have basically been trying to pad out this depth here. And the departure of Carlton Davis is something else that we had talked about. The Bucks got a third-round pick for him and offloaded a sixth-rounder over to the Detroit Lions. Well,
two sixth-rounders,
my apologies. Well, the Bucks have addressed that. They obviously went and they signed strong safety Jordan Whitehead back on a two-year deal, but they also signed former Jets corner Bryce Hall. Now, a lot of people, I think, overreacted when they first saw the headline that the Bucks signed former Jet Bryce Hall, because most people assumed Breece Hall and got really excited. But regardless, Bryce Hall is a decent player. He's a former fifth-round pick, I think taken in the 2020 NFL draft, played the last 4 years with the Jets. 6'1", 205. He's a good scheme fit. But James, tell me a little bit more about what you know about Bryce Hall, because he's a name that I'm excited about. Potentially your wide receiver three, or a cornerback three for the man. That'd be something.
That'd be wild.
Your cornerback three for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But from what I do understand, he's also kind of been held back from injury these last couple of seasons.
Yeah, so I tried to do some research on what's been going on regarding injury-wise for Bryce Hall, and I didn't really see anything. He only played in 14 games in the past 2 years. I don't know if that is because of injury. Is it not because of injury? I guess it's because of injury. I don't know what injuries he has been dealing with, but he did start 17 games and play in 17 games in 2021. He had 16 passes defended. He had 79 total tackles, 2 quarterback hits, 4 tackles for loss. So this is a guy who I think can be a rotational guy and a low risk, high reward type of signing. That's kind of how I view it. I think that this is a guy who could be a starter if you need him to be. I think we'll have some value on special teams. I want to take a look real quick at his special team snaps, Rhett. He played 47% of special team snaps in 2022 and 53% of special team snaps in 2023 for the Jets. So he's got some good special teams ability the past couple of years. In his first 2 years with the Jets, he played 93% of defensive snaps and 98% of defensive snaps. So this is a guy who can play both defense and special teams and has a lot of experience doing that. Now, is he going to push Zion McCollum for that number two cornerback spot? I don't know. I mean, it's possible. He doesn't have any history with Todd Bowles because Todd Bowles was long gone by the time Bryce Hall was drafted to the Bucs. He does have some experience with Jordan Whitehead. They played together the past two seasons for the New York Jets. So that's kind of an interesting connection there. And we'll see. Ultimately, I think right now he is a depth signing more so than anything, but I do think he has potential for more moving forward. And at the very least, if he's your number four, number five cornerback, and is also a special teams guy as well, still a very solid signing in my opinion.
Yeah, and according to Pewter Report, as of today, the Bucs do not appear to be done adding to their retooled secondary, as ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reported Saturday, today, that free agent cornerback Tavier Thomas is set to meet with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after recently visiting the Lions in Detroit. As for Thomas, he could provide competition at nickel, as that's where he's seen the majority of his work in the NFL. If the Bucs signed Thomas, a Ferris State product, it would give 2023 undrafted free agent Christian Izian some competition this coming summer. Izian started all 17 games for the Bucs last year as an undrafted rookie out of Rutgers. Thomas previously spent some time with the Browns before playing in Houston over the last three seasons. He signed a one-year deal with Houston last year with a $1.5 million base salary. With bonus money, his cap hit with the Texans in 23 was $2.1 million. So, James, last time we had talked a lot about the depth moves the Bucs are going to make to pad out and retool a couple of different position groups, the secondary being one of them. And just like this article says, you know, the Bucs meeting with Tavier Thomas, and he may not even be the last name they talk to about throwing some more bodies into that secondary.
Real quick, I want to say thank you to Richard Taroka for the $2 super chat saying happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone. Right, me and you, a couple of Irish guys. We love our St. Patrick's Day here, so on the Cannon Fire podcast. So happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody as well. Hope you guys are all having a great time.
Absolutely. Shout out to Richard T from the, wait for it, West Coast. That's my favorite part of the Richard T call, is that I feel like every time he calls the show and he drops that little West Coast in there, the pause gets longer every time because he'll answer the phone. He'll say, hey guys, it's Richard T from the West Coast.
And love
it's the best. It's the best. Shout out Richard T. Thank you for the $1.99.
Back to Tavier Thomas real quick. I'm happy you brought this guy up because I made a video about him visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And literally in that video, Rhett, I was pretty surprised at this player and what he could potentially be for the Bucs if they sign him. I want them to sign him. 5'10", 210 pounds. The past 3 years, Rhett, he has started in 19 games for the Houston Texans, played in 36. Now, what's really interesting is in 2021, he played 56% of defensive snaps, 67% of special team snaps. In 2022, 60% of defensive snaps, 56% of special team snaps. 2023, 60% of defensive snaps, 54% of special team snaps. And then with the Browns, 53% of special team snaps in 2018, 84% in 2019, 80% in 2020. Firstly, this is a guy that's got a lot of experience at special teams. That's already good value, in my opinion, would be a good signing just to get another guy who can cover punts or kickoffs and just be a good player like that. Secondly, though, which I feel like is more important, Rhett, this guy could be one of those Jason Light signings where you bring him in, you have him compete at nickel, could potentially be a low-key star for the Bucs. Hear me out on these three seasons of Pro Football Focus grades for Tavier Thomas the past 3 years. Are you ready? I will take that slow nod as a yes. 2021, a 77.6 grade. 2022, he had a 70.0 grade. In 2023, a 72.2 grade. This is very, very good grades overall, I feel like, with three different head coaches, by the way, David Culley, Lovie Smith, and D'Amico Ryans, all different defenses overall, all different. Well, I guess Lovie Smith was the defensive coordinator in 2021, but you get my point. It's like this is a guy who the past couple of years has been very consistent in terms of his Pro Football Focus grades and getting a lot of playing time as well. He's had multiple different head coaches and he never lost any of that playing time. This is a guy that, fingers crossed, like, hey, could be a low-key really good signing for the Bucs if they are able to get him in the building.
Yeah, and I gotta believe that playing under Todd Bowles, we had heard Jordan Whitehead speak to the versatility and really how Todd Bowles does a great job of catering to the strengths of his players in his defensive scheme. He knows how to get the most out of a guy. He isn't just going to plug and play. He's going to give a guy an assignment with purpose because he knows that this guy is better than this guy at doing this particular thing. Now, it doesn't always work out trying to fine-tune some of these players and, you know, adjust their playing time and get the most out of them. We know that things with Ryan Neal didn't ultimately work out, which is why I don't think he is going to be back in Tampa Bay next season. But when you have a deep safety room like this and you have a deep level of talent, even just between Antoine Winfield Jr. and Jordan Whitehead, you don't necessarily have everyone else fighting for playing time. It's all situational. You know, I think Todd Bowles can kind of get an idea of what this guy's biggest strengths are, and hopefully he can do a good job getting creative enough to bring him on the field and have it be one of those things where whenever he's on the field, he's making an impact because he doesn't have to play over 50% of the defensive snaps. You know what I'm saying? Like, Todd Bowles is very good at getting situational with his players, and that's where guys make some of their best plays. You know, you remember at one point we had Antoine Winfield Jr., Mike Edwards, and Jordan Whitehead, in 2020, in this yes, secondary. And it was one of the most dynamic secondaries we've ever seen. Sorry, brain fart there.
Real quick, too, I want to mention for Tavier Thomas, he also has a history with Baker Mayfield. They played together from 2018 to 2020. They were a part of the same, I guess the same draft class technically. Tavier Thomas was undrafted out of Ferris State, but they did play together for 3 years with the Cleveland Browns. And also, Tavier Thomas has been to the playoffs twice. He went the 1 year in 2020 with the Cleveland Browns whenever Baker Mayfield took them, and he went in 2023 whenever the Houston Texans went. So the guy's also got some playoff experience as well, Rhett. I really like this guy. Could definitely be an interesting addition if brought in.
Before we talk about the other side of the football, wanted to gauge a question from our buddy Richard T on the West Coast. Can Bryce Hall take over Zion McCollum for cornerback 2? Now, he does say starting corner, but I know it's not actually going to be starting corner. I think Jamel Dean is pretty much going to be your cornerback 1. So that cornerback 2 spot, do you think it's a legitimate battle potentially between Zion McCollum and Bryce Hall, or do you think the Bucs feel strong enough in the development that they saw from McCollum last season?
You know, like, I...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I would say the latter, where they likely feel confident in Zion McCollum being that cornerback too, but we're not going to know until we get to training camp. So I'm going to say it's possible, but we're going to have to wait and see how things shake out with Bryce Hall and where they value him. Now, do they view him as, you know, we don't know what they view him as right now, right? He signed a very cheap deal. So does that mean they're going to bring him in and have him be legitimate competition at that cornerback 2, or do they view him as a cornerback 4 special team guy? We won't know until we see it. But I would say right now that I would still pencil in McCollum as that cornerback too.
Yeah, I agree. Again, I've said it before, there were a couple of times last season where it felt like he was getting picked on as one of the younger guys in that secondary, but he's going into year number three and obviously facing the most pressure he's ever faced headed into an NFL season, taking up the reins for that cornerback two spot. So if he can show up and not only show up healthy enough at camp, but just play well and show the Bucs that they made the right decision, you know, making some of these signings under the gauge that he's going to continue to develop and get better, I'm excited to see what he can bring to the table. So let's talk about some signings the Bucs made on the offense. Last time on the show, we had talked about some potential moving around here, specifically at the center and the left guard position. Right guard more than likely going to be Cody Mauch headed into next year. But what we didn't know at the time of recording the last podcast, James, is that Nick Leverett would be signing with the Patriots and the Buccaneers would be moving on from Aaron Stinney and letting him go ahead and hit free agency. So to address both of those departures, the Bucs made two big signings in the interior offensive line, one of them being Ben Bredesen. Sorry, I had to make sure I didn't say the incorrect first name.
Oh,
I wanted
okay.
to say Matt. Hey, you thought I froze. You thought we had connection issues again?
No, I just thought your mind melted there for a second. I didn't know what happened.
We're close. I don't know what's going on today, but we are walking a fine line here. Okay, so the new additions of offensive lineman Ben Bredesen and Sua Opeta, former Eagle. Ben Bredesen, formerly of the Giants, was with the Ravens before that. Now, the Bucs necessarily may not be done trying to upgrade the center and guard position. Of course, you have the NFL draft to look forward to, the first, second, third round. There's going to be some shifting in priorities, I think, once free agency is over. But I think the big board is the same as it has been position-wise. But these are a couple of depth signings that, you know, ultimately you're going to be fighting for that left guard spot. Matt Filer not going to be back either. We had talked about the departure of Aaron Stinney and Nick Leverett. So when you look at some of these new offensive linemen and bodies coming in for camp, what do you think of Sua Opeta and Bredesen here?
Yeah, so, you know, man, to me personally, I view both these guys as depth guys. Yes, Ben Bredesen did start 16 games for the Giants last year. Sua Opeta is coming from a really good organization with the Philadelphia Eagles. But to me, I view both these guys as pure replacements for Aaron Stinney, who went to the New York Giants. So the Bucs essentially swapped offensive linemen with the Giants. Aaron Stinney ended up with the Giants. Ben Bredesen ended up with the Bucs. And Nick Leverett, who, as you said, went to the Patriots. So I don't necessarily view either one of these guys right now as pure starters. Could they battle for a starting spot? Yes, I would say Ben Bredesen especially could be battling for a starting left guard spot, but I do think the Buccaneers would still have good inclination to still upgrade at that position. And I still think the possibility of going for a Brian Allen in free agency and then moving Robert Hainsey over at left guard, it's still something I would still do even with those signings. And like you said, you could still possibly look to the draft as well. Jason Light has drafted offensive linemen in the first, second, and third rounds in the past. I think that trend could very easily continue this upcoming draft as well. To me, I view both these guys as pure replacements for Leverett and Stinney, guys who can play both guard positions in the form of Sua Opeta and even Ben Bredesen as well, where Sua Opeta, replacement for Aaron Stinney, can play both guard spots. Ben Bredesen, replacement for Nick Leverett, can play both guard spots and center. That's how I view both of these signings. Whether or not one of them would end up being the starter or not, I'm going to say it's unlikely, but solid depth nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely. And then looking ahead to the draft, you know, the Bucs still going to keep all options on the table as far as drafting an offensive lineman. You know, Duke's Graham Barton is a name that has been tossed around. Jackson Powers Johnson at the center position, always going to be in play. So when you talk about the recent additions and the signings from this week, they didn't sign both of those guys to be starters. Now, there's obviously a chance that either one could get the starting job depending on how well they do in camp. But you're hoping on young talent. I think you're potentially hoping on a guy like Robert Hainsey to still be in the mix in that guard battle, whether he's fighting for a center job or he's fighting for that left guard spot. So I think if both of those guys are starting on your offensive line next season, something has gone wrong. I do agree with what you said with how they are probably going to be looked at as some camp bodies, a couple of depth signings, but you know, the Bucs, again, could not be done building this offensive line through the draft. And when you look ahead to the draft here, this will kind of be how we wrap things up. First, second, third round. I think we had talked about this earlier this week, but just want to get a refresher on your take here. What are some of the top position priorities now that the Bucs have figured out where they're going to be addressing the needs of depth? You know, they retooled the secondary. They got Jordan Whitehead back. They signed Bryce Hall, looking at potentially another corner this week. And then, of course, the offensive line we just talked about for a little while. So would you still say they could be drafting someone in the secondary in the first three rounds? I know offensive lineman feels like a foregone conclusion, but do you think they're comfortable with the depth? Do you think they still need, or do you have the want to get another playmaker in the secondary here in the first couple of rounds? Where do you think, what do you think the big board looks like position-wise for the Bucs after this week of free agency?
I still say pass rusher is up there, most certainly. I would still say a starting offensive lineman is still up there, most certainly. I think in the first three rounds, the Buccaneers still are very, very much in play to select a pass rusher and an offensive lineman in the first three rounds. I wouldn't count out cornerback in the first three rounds as well. Safety, I think, is very much off the board at this point. And whenever you look at later round, you talk about what can they still address depth-wise. Running back is still something that they could address. I love the re-signing of Chase Edmonds, but you still need a power guy, in my opinion. Would have loved to see A.J. Dillon be an option, but he signed a deal to go back to the Green Bay Packers. Wide receiver depth, I believe, is still an option. Yes, you have Trey Palmer, but you did get rid of Russell Gage. You did bring back Devin Tompkins, but you still could use some good wide receiver depth there. I think tight end depth is something that could be necessary. You have Cade Otton. But aside from that, I didn't really see a lot to be overall, you know, swayed away from taking another tight end from Payne Durham or Kokeef or anybody else that is in that mix. So really, I think whenever you're looking at depth, you're still looking at running back, wide receiver, and tight end. The offensive line depth has been good, but you still could certainly use a starter, maybe even two in those positions. And pass rusher, I still feel like is a very important need for the Bucs.
Yeah, I agree. I'm all about the trenches early on in this draft. You know, first, second round, I like an offensive lineman. If you wait until the second or third to get your guy in the trenches, that's fine too. But a pass rusher for sure and an offensive lineman. I'm okay if you don't take an interior defensive lineman. I think we've got that covered. I think we'll be okay with the development of Kalijah Kansi, Vita Vea, obviously. But we need another edge rusher to complement Yaya Diaby, because you're banking on a lot of development from Yaya Diaby this upcoming season. But if it doesn't happen and he doesn't have any help after the departure of Shaq Barrett, you know what I mean? Like, where do you find yourself in a disappointing situation? And it's going to be another frustrating year of trying to get after the quarterback with four down linemen, in my opinion. You just lost one of the better blitzing linebackers on the team in Devin White. We didn't entirely talk about how the Bucs could potentially address that linebacker position. KJ Britt, always a possibility to be in the mix. Servassier Dennis, going to be a second-year player looking for some more positive development after we kind of liked what we saw from him last year. But, you know, still some things the Bucs need to address here, James.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking a look at the free agents that are left in terms of edge rushers. Also, a pass rushing inside middle linebacker is very important. Maybe that'll be Servassier Dennis, who plays very similar to Devin White, or at least he did at Pitt. I don't know if he's going to do similar with what he did for the Bucs, but that's an option. Really, Rhett, I'm going to say some names, and you let me know if anybody really jumps off the page for you. These are kind of the guys who are left. Emmanuel Ogba, Carl Lawson, Randy Gregory, Yannick Ngakoue, Chase Young. They're not trading for Josh Sweat, because Josh Sweat redid his deal to stay with the Philadelphia Eagles. I know that was a bit of a popular opinion for some Bucs fans. Bud Dupree, Jadeveon Clowney, those are really the top names left in terms of edge rushers. So anybody that really strikes you, Rhett?
You know, there's obviously some notable names on there. Like, I'm not going to shy away from an Ngakoue, the development potential of Chase Young. I know that he hasn't wowed a lot of people, but you still don't ever know. Some of those pass rushers are just late bloomers. You know what I mean? So you never know taking a flyer on a guy like that. I wouldn't hate it. I think.
Yo, dude, I'd be hyped if they got Chase Young.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big name. You know, some guys that I don't think you'd be able to afford, but after this opening week of free agency, you don't want to hit the panic button, but as time starts to go by, you'll notice some of those big names just don't get signed. Like Jadeveon Clowney might be a guy that, you know, waits 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks before he ultimately signs with a team in free agency, if he decides to come back to play at all. So no, I don't think there's anything overwhelming. Bud Dupree is another name that I recognize, but I couldn't tell you what he's done in the last couple of seasons. You know, we're talking about a lot of guys where you're banking on the potential of what they've done in the past or what they can ultimately still do and what you're hoping they can still do, like a case with Chase Young. But yeah, it's a tricky situation because, you know, one, you have to find the right value, and two, you have to find the right guy that you think can potentially be a contributor. You know, if the Bucks were to sign Jadeveon Clowney tomorrow, between you and me, James, I don't think he could be a contributor, a massive contributor. He could maybe get you, what, 4 or 5 sacks? But I think he would have maybe the same potential as Shaq Barrett would with another year on this team.
Well, now that you've just said that, now they're going to sign Jadeveon Clowney. So.
I know.
So there you go. I brought up those names to say this. I still think the Buccaneers could use a veteran edge rusher. They could, and they probably will, draft an edge rusher in the first three rounds, but it's a pretty young group. And you brought up something where relying on Yaya Diaby is potentially your number one with a lot of other guys just developing, or even like, I would say today, Rhett, your most consistent second pass rusher is probably Anthony Nelson. Like,
and he didn't show up last year.
Yeah, so I mean, like, you just need some improvement there. You just do. I mean, like, Jotron Schoenke is not what, you know, everybody thought he was going to develop into, and he's not terrible, but he's not a leading guy right now. So they need a little bit more insurance there. Moving forward with the remainder of free agency, I would like to see them just add another veteran there, even if it's a low value type of veteran. Just bring in another veteran presence, a guy who has shown something in the past.
Yeah, I agree. But ladies and gentlemen, that's just about going to do it for today's episode of the Cannon Fire Podcast. Wanted to get you caught up on all the news that we didn't get a chance to tell you about this week. There was a lot going on. You know, you take a day off from covering the Bucks free agency, and it feels like you missed 3 days just because of all the moves that have been made and the frequency in which they have happened. But it's been a lot of fun covering everything this week.
Also, congrats to John Wolford and Justin School for being back.
Yeah, absolutely. We forgot to mention in the offensive line signings, free agent Justin School is back. Swing tackle position, the Bucks have used him at before. And, of course, the Wolfman. The new and improved, I don't want to say improved because that sounds like a slight, but the new Mr. August for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think, is John Wolford after the departure of Ryan Griffin, who, by the way, is playing like an absolute stud over there in Italy for the Scorpions. Have you seen some of his highlights? I know that he is going to be on the Chicago Bears coaching staff at the start of the 2024 NFL season, but as of right now, he's a starting quarterback over in the Italian league, and he is playing his ass off, dude. I think they're undefeated.
I didn't know that. Let me see. Where is he? Oh, the Scorpions. Varese.
Yes.
Did not know that. Wow. Congrats to him.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was playing it. What is this? What is this?
I think he said his brother plays for them, or he's a coach, or he lives over there. I don't know the connection he had to the team. But I think it was just kind of like one last go around before he got into his coaching career, and he was doing his buddy a favor.
They won 28-7 last week. This is an Italian football league. I didn't know this was a thing.
Oh yeah, buddy.
Wow. How about that?
Best sport in the world.
Yeah. Well, congrats to him. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely. So next time we talk to you guys on this podcast, I should be joined by my usual co-host, Evan Wanish. And we are going to be breaking down, basically recapping free agency, because I think the next time we talk to you, things will kind of be winding down officially. Jason Light will just be done taking things out of the oven, and it'll be ready to serve. So we'll put a grade on the Buccaneers free agency, you dive a little bit deeper into what they could do in the NFL draft. James, I want to thank you for covering this week and hanging out with me these last couple of episodes. For the people unaware, where can they find you and your content?
Yeah, so everything's Mr. Bucs Nation, be it on YouTube, Instagram, or Twitter. Just made a video about Tavier Thomas visiting the Bucs. So, yeah, that's kind of the latest I've got going on. Also do some stuff for Bleacher Report over on the Bleacher Report app. Go check that out as well. And yeah, man, happy to be on. And a lot of Bucs news to cover. Oh, we're also on the road to 19K. We're 26 away.
Awesome. You're close.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be at 20K before you know it. Hopefully 20K before the start of the season. That'd be awesome, man. I hope you get there.
That'd be sick.
You can find our show social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those are Cannon Fire Podcast. Best place to go for updates on the show. And of course, Buccaneer news as it happens. Last but not least, you can find myself on social media, Instagram and Twitter at Redicus, R-H-E-T-T-A-K-U-S. If you follow me, I will follow you back. We will talk to you in the next one. I'm your host, Rhett Matthews, signing off my co-host, James Hill. Want to thank you again for listening. We'll see you in the next one. Until then, and as always, go Bucks.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.